Good morning again as we continue our journey through Lent, as we come and share together in our homes or wherever you might be for our worship. Let's turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, as we continue our Lenten journey, preparing for the cross, preparing for Easter, so Lord, we come to this moment asking that you would speak to us and challenge us. Asking, Lord, that as much as we come to receive from you in this moment, we also come to give back to you. So receive our presence and our participation in this medium as an act of our worship, giving back to you. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to receive your word, and that in that, Lord, we would draw strength from you. Challenge us, lead us, guide us, and be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we join together in our first song as we sing together that song from Matt Redman, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be the name of our Lord.
Glorious name, yeah, yeah. You give and take.
Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 46, the fourth word from the cross. After the reading, we will join together in saying the Lord's Prayer together. So hear these words from Scripture. Matthew 27, verses 45 to 46. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The cross has been silent for 3 whole hours. Jesus has said nothing, and it has been dark, something quite unusual for that time of day. But there's been darkness and silence. And then suddenly, out of the quiet comes the shout, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is the cry of a desperate, lonely, dying man. The Son of God has reached his breaking point, and it is his greatest moment of suffering. And in that suffering, even God, his Father, seems to have forsaken him. There are a few interesting things that we need to note about this word from the cross. Firstly, it is out of all the 7 words that come from the cross, there are 2 where Jesus addresses his Father as Father. The first word, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then the 7th word, the last word, "Father, into your hands I place my spirit." Both those words, because of the way they're expressed and because of the term Father, imply a certain sense of intimacy, something of a connectedness in the relationship between Jesus and his Father. Yet in this word, the 4th word, the central word of the cross, Jesus calls out with a shout, "God," almost implying a sense of distance, a sense of disconnectedness, a sense of not being so close. Secondly, this word from the cross is often linked to Psalm 22, verse 1. We need to remember that the Psalms were the prayer book of the Jews. When you didn't know what to pray or you didn't know how to pray, a good place to go back to is to Scripture. And it was the same for the Jews of the time. When they were at a place of struggle or they didn't quite know what to pray, they would go to their prayer book. They would go to the Psalms. And the psalmist, in his desperation, in Psalm 22, cries out with those same words that Jesus used from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" The 3rd thing to note is that of all the words from the cross, these are the only words that are shouted out, that Jesus cries out, almost as though there's this desperation that God seems so distant that he needs to shout so that God can hear him. In this loud cry, we sense the anguish, the struggle, the pain, the desperation of a cry out of a man who is dying. The cross has been silent for a whole 3 hours. Jesus has said nothing, and it's been dark for 3 hours. Not only physically dark, which was very strange because, as scripture tells us, this was from 12 o'clock till about 3 o'clock. But Jesus is in a dark place personally. Let me remind you of the darkness that Jesus possibly feels as he hangs on the cross. Jesus had been tempted to avoid the cross by people, but of course, in Gethsemane as well. Tempted to, Lord, if at all possible, take this hour of suffering away from me. One of Jesus' disciples had sold him for 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a slave. One of his closest friends had denied knowing him around the fire. The rest of the disciples, who'd been so faithful, at this point they run, disperse, and hide in the shadows. Not only has that been a struggle, but Christ's enemies have mocked him. If you could save others, but you cannot save yourself. The soldiers had beaten him with clubs and with whips. They'd whipped him until his back and the skin on his back was raw and bleeding. The crowd had shouted and jeered at him. And then a crown of thorns was pushed down and pierced the skin on his skull. And to add to that, nails had been driven through his hands and his feet, crushing bones and pinching nerves. But worst of all, in this moment, God seems to have turned his back on his son. And so it is that under this darkness that Jesus feels, the struggle that he's going through, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Darkness is no stranger to us. We might joke and say, well, Eskom regularly leaves us in darkness. But on a serious note, we are no strangers to darkness. We've all had dark times in our lives. We've all experienced dark times in our world. Persecuted Christians across the world are facing prison and death. I'm sure they must wonder, God, why have you forsaken me? The abused wife, feeling trapped, being beaten, feeling alone, cries to herself while she puts herself to sleep, God, why have you forsaken me? Parents keeping vigil over a child, fighting a deadly terminal disease, maybe cancer. And they've heard the question and they ask the question, God, why have you forsaken me? The retired couple who've lost all their savings, either through a scam or bad investments or the turn in the economy, and they're worrying about their future and doubting what lies ahead, and they ask, God, why have you forsaken me? The addict of alcohol or of drugs, or even the addict of work, cries out for freedom to be released from where they are. God, why have you forsaken me? Victims of violent crime, of gender-based violence, victims of injustice, all ask the question, God, why have you forsaken me? Many of us know darkness. Maybe not in the extremes of what I've just mentioned, but many of us face illnesses and struggles that have brought us to the point of saying, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken us? Grieving the loss of a loved one who you've spent years with sharing life and they die and you feel so alone. The breakup of relationships due to circumstances. Personally, we struggle with our son who's traveled so far and lives overseas and we long to see him, and at times when the relationship seems so full of tension, we ask, God, where are you? We all know darkness. We all feel at some point in our lives that God has left us due to circumstances or situations. I wonder what your darkness is. I wonder what your struggle is that causes you to cry out in anguish, in pain, in confusion. God, where are you? God, why have you forsaken me? But we need to be reminded that it's because of Jesus on the cross. That even though we feel forsaken, even though we feel so lonely and so far away from God, even though we feel lost, alone, and desperate, we need to know that God is still there. Martin Luther, in light of this verse, made the comment, God? A forsaking God? What kind of a thing can that possibly be? Jesus' words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me, raises for all of us a major contradiction, a deep mystery and a struggle, and maybe even a puzzle that we try and solve. How can God abandon God? We talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How in this moment can God stop being the Trinity? How can our Trinitarian God not be Trinitarian? How can God not be true to himself in this moment? This is the cross. As Mike said last week, this is the apex of our faith. And in this moment, as Jesus hangs on the cross, as he says these words, we need to remember that he is both fully human and at the same time fully God. But because Jesus is fully human, he therefore has exactly the same feelings that we have. Feelings of desperation, of anguish, of abandonment, of being forsaken, of struggle, of pain. And that's what Jesus is expressing. He's expressing that Jesus feels that in his darkest hour on the cross, and in this darkest hour, he prays on the cross. But in no way has God abandoned his son. In no way has God forsaken him. We don't understand it, and there is the mystery and the confusion and the contradiction. But Jesus, who's both fully human and fully God, in this moment, as much as he expresses his anguish in those words, he's fully God and he takes on the sin of the world. God bears the burden of all our sin. In this moment and into the resurrection, Christ conquers sin on the cross. And so Christ conquers your and my sin on the cross. And in that lies the hope of our salvation. No darkness can ever separate us from God. No struggle, no circumstance can ever separate us from God. We might feel God is distant. We might feel and cry out those same words that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But even in the darkness of Calvary, in the darkness of Christ's experience, in the darkness of the cross, in that darkness lies the hope of our salvation. That Jesus, God, carries, bears the sin of the world. And in that lies the hope of our salvation. Let us pray. Father God, how we thank you that you went to the cross for us. Lord, how we are deeply grateful that you bore the burden of our sin, that in your darkest hour you felt so abandoned. But even in that moment, God was present. He bore the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, that in the cross we find the hope of our salvation. Amen. And so we join together in our final song as we share together in that hymn, it is well with my soul.
When thank you.
And so as we conclude our time together, receive these words of grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.